I do hereby swear to be faithful to the Republic of South Africa.
And I solemnly and sincerely promise that we'll always promote all that will advance the Republic and oppose all that may harm.
Be a true and faithful counselor, discharge my duties with all my strength and talents to the best of my knowledge.
And true to the dictates of my conscience, do justice to all.
And devote myself to the well-being of the Republic and all of its people.
So help me God.
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 1994 was a remarkable year for South Africa, the dawn of democracy. It ushered in political and social transformation and changed the country forever. That was 30 years and five presidents ago. Three decades later, South Africans were returned to voting stations on the 29th of May. Some 28 million registered voters will have the power to make their mark and exercise their right to vote by electing representatives to both national parliament and provincial legislatures. This will be our country's seventh democratic election. Some believe South Africa is facing its most unpredictable election in a post-apartheid era, and it's been described as a defining moment to not only our history, but for our nation. In this mini-podcast series, the Jacaranda FM news team will tell the story of the 2024 elections. We will have it all, from expert analysis to hearing from you, the voter. Political opinions play a crucial role in the world we live in, and it's also necessary for a thriving democracy. This is the Jacaranda FM news team taking you on the journey to the 2024 polls with insights on, among others, the challenges first-time voters face, South Africa's political landscape, and how it plays a role on the global stage. 2024 is not just an election year. It's perhaps the election year. Globally, more voters than ever in history will head to the polls, as at least 64 countries representing a combined population of about 49% of people in the world are meant to hold national elections, the results of which will prove consequential for years to come. This, of course, includes South Africa, where we are celebrating 30 years of democracy. The ANC, which has been in power since 1994, is under more pressure than ever before. A party which secured a two-thirds majority not so long ago could dip under 50% nationally for the first time, bringing coalitions into play. Of course, simply holding an election does not mean the process will be free or fair. Even that great bastion of democracy, the United States of America, is heading into unknown territory. The US presidential race, culminating in November, has the potential to unleash what the economists describe as the biggest danger to the world, former President Donald Trump securing a second term. But where do we fit in all of this? And is democracy really on the ballot in 2024? Our news editor Marius van der Walt sat down with two political analysts to discuss the year of the election, the health of liberation democracy, and where South Africa finds itself in the midst of a year which could change the course of human history.
2024 is expected to be the largest expression of democracy in human history, with more than half of the world's population living in countries that will host nationwide elections. But in many of the largest and most important elections, including in the United States, it is democracy itself that will be on the ballot.
That most famous of wartime presidents, Winston Churchill, once said that many forms of government have been tried and will be tried in this world of sin and woe. No one pretends that democracy is perfect or all-wise. Indeed, it has been said that democracy is the worst form of government, except for all those other forms that have been tried from time to time. And for the longest time, liberal democracy was seen as the only system that could bring prosperity to a country. But the US's wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and the financial crash of 2008 severely dented people's trust not only in Western-style democracy, but also the free market system. Now, this has seen a retreat from the globalism of the 1990s and a creeping authoritarianism in many countries such as Hungary, Belarus and Egypt. The University of Johannesburg's Professor Theo Venter says there are a few elections we need to keep an eye on to gauge the health of democracy around the world in 2024.
Two or three of these elections are really important to make that determination about the state of democracy. And I think the most important one is probably India, with a population of 1.4 billion. That election will take place over a period of a month. And although India is a fast-developing country, it is also an emerging democracy. I would say if we talk democracies, India is probably the biggest democracy that we've seen in a very long time. But the elections that also would be important to take note of would definitely be the South African election, because we may see a change of the typical political design that we've been so used to over the last 30 years. There's a possibility of that. I think the election in Mexico is a very important election because it's close to the American situation, who I think will probably have the most important election this year, because whatever happens in the U.S. between two old men will have a reverberating effect into Europe, into Russia, into China, into the whole globe, because America is a global actor and a global player. So I would say that one stands very high up on the priority. And then we also expect an election in Great Britain.
Democracy can be defined as a way of governing which depends on the will of the people. But what about a country like China, which is the most successful country where national elections, in the Western definition of it, aren't held? The Communist Party has a pact with the people of China. Let us take care of the politics, and we will ensure your children are better off than you. What if the majority of the people are happy with that arrangement? Is it then not a form of democracy? Dr. Oscar van Heerden argues that there are many forms of democracy, and we shouldn't accept the Western model as the only viable way to govern a country with the consent of the people.
There is a number of countries that obviously subscribe to that Western-style democracy, and there's various forms of it. We in South Africa have what we call a constitutional democracy that is based on representation, proportional representation. There are other forms of liberal democracies, but they generally subscribe to a set of principles. The difficulty is that for the longest time, there was an acceptance that that is the only form of democracy, which, of course, as you rightfully point out, is not the case, because there are other democracies that does not subscribe to a liberal democratic framework. Because, you know, I think it would be wrong to say that China is undemocratic. What we should rather say is China's governance system is not what we are used to in terms of a liberal democracy. But Chinese Communist Party elect their representatives from local areas, villages and towns and so forth. And all of those representatives that the people on the ground have elected come together in what they call a People's Assembly, usually held in Beijing. And it's roughly between about 5,000 to 7,000 delegates representing all quarters of the country. And they then elect the 7 or 9 Politburo members of the Communist Party, of which the leader becomes the president, in this case, Xi Jinping. And so the Chinese, I would argue, would say that that is their form of democracy. There is no uproar or revolt from the people. It is accepted by the Chinese people. And it has been a very prosperous economy over the last 40-plus years. And so the same with Russia. I could go into details, but the point is, I think that liberal democracies must be careful to label other forms of governance systems as undemocratic or autocratic. For example, there are also countries, as you know, that are theologists, where religious leaders are in charge, and it is accepted by the majority of the people, whether we talk of Saudi Arabia, whether we talk of Iran, and so on and so forth. There's different forms of democracies, and I think the sooner liberal democracies accept that, the better.
The other big superpower going to the polls this year is, of course, the USA, where incumbent Joe Biden and his predecessor Donald Trump will fight it out for the Oval Office. There's a couple of things that make the November elections in the US different to any other held in modern times. We have the oldest president. Biden will be close to celebrating his 90th birthday if he finishes his second term. His opponent, Donald Trump, faces a multitude of criminal cases, including one of trying to subvert the results of the 2020 elections. That's the previous one. He's also refused to say whether he would accept the outcome of this year's polls. Dr. Van Heerden says there's no doubt that democracy in the U.S. is not in a great place.
The reality is that the last two elections was marred by controversy. There was rumors of other external people being involved in vote rigging and a number of court cases that have resulted from the general elections or the presidential elections, as they call it. So, big, big problems within the United States. They try to give the impression that they are the speaking house on the Hill, but unfortunately there are big problems. As you know, as they go to this presidential election, one of the leading candidates, Donald Trump, is facing a slew of court cases and indictments that was brought against him. And never did we think that we would see a situation where one of the key opponents or candidates for president would be facing such lawsuits and things to try and bar him from participating in the democratic process. As to whether it will succeed, we'll have to wait and see as to how that plays out.
So, where does South Africa and its relatively young democracy fit into all of this? South Africa's elections since the end of apartheid has generally been regarded as free and fair. We've had five presidents since the dawn of democracy, but only one governing party, the ANC. This could, of course, change when we head to the polls on the 29th of May. It's often said the peaceful transfer of power is one of the surest signs of a healthy democracy. Professor Venter says there's no doubt South Africa is at a tipping point, which could see the end of the one-party dominance of the past 30 years.
At this tipping point, for the first time in the ANC history at the national level, they're facing a very uneasy outcome where they may just be confronted with a 50% margin. In other words, they may just be over 50% or just under 50%. Now, this is bad stuff when your internal party culture is that of a dominant party. And you hear this all the time when Fikile Mbalula speaks, when this guy talks or that guy, you hear the political arrogance. And I think in that sense, this election is a very, very important election for not only the ANC, but also for the opposition parties. Because what happens when you've got a dominant party system, the opposition parties are broken down. The opposition parties are not strong. And because the opposition parties do not represent an alternative, voter apathy emerge. People say, but there's no use voting for party X or Y, because they will never get government, so I'd rather not go and vote. The apathy also emerge from the ruling party in that people are saying, I don't have to vote, they will win in any case. So you can see it works in two ways, and therefore this election, in my view, is crucial to provide new life into democracy, and then to enter the terrain of coalition politics, which we don't have a very good experience up to now, but I think there are some very, very valuable characteristics of coalitions that will be necessary for South Africa in the future. And only one that I would mention is that when you're in a coalition, let's say you're the EFF, and you have two major policy positions. The one is the nationalization of the mines, the Reserve Bank, and a few other things. And secondly, expropriation without compensation, which is still your policy on land. But now you're the junior partner in government. It means those two policy positions of you will slowly die because the dominant party would not allow you to implement them. So coalitions have the advantage that it cuts the edges, the sharp edges of policy to a certain extent, and it brings it back to reality, despite the fact that coalitions are horribly difficult to get decisions made. They can sometimes sit on things where you don't get the outcome that you would like. And but I think through a process like we are going to see in 2 weeks' time, we may move from a flawed democracy, in other words, a democracy with problems, to a democracy where we can say we're on our way to a full democracy because we do not have a dominant party anymore.
South Africa has, especially lately, walked a bit of a diplomatic tightrope. We are vocal supporters of the so-called Global South or the developing countries. We are a member of the BRICS group of countries, but we have also had to get our point across without angering our biggest trading partners in the West, such as the European Union and the US. So, how will our elections be viewed on the international stage? Dr. van Heerden says no matter the outcome, South Africa's electoral system is solid and should serve as an example to many other countries.
South Africa is a good, shining example of what a liberal democracy is supposed to be. You know, we have a vibrant national legislature. We have opposition parties that play their part and their role to keep the governing party accountable. We are rated as one of the most transparent countries in terms of our national budget processes, in terms of our auditor general processes, in terms of the public purse, very transparent. And we have successfully, since 1994, that historic first democratic non-racial elections, we have held regular elections every 5 years, both national and provincial, as well as local government elections, without any incident. There has not been any indication of the military wanting to interfere, as was the case with our neighbors in Zimbabwe and many others, like Ghana and so forth. None of that has happened. We have had a change of the head of state on more than 5 occasions without incident, starting from the time when President Mbeki replaced President Mandela, Mutlante being the caretaker president, then President Zuma, and of course now President Ramaphosa. So for all intents and purposes, if you now have to give us a score in terms of a liberal democracy with a strong constitution and a Bill of Rights and the practice of democratic principles, we should certainly be up there amongst the best.
As we head to the polls, both here and elsewhere in the world, it would be wise to remember one of Nelson Mandela's most famous quotes and cherish them as we make our cross on the ballot.
The idea of a democratic and free society in which all persons will live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an idea for which I hope to live for and to see realized. But my Lord, if it needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die.
Elections 24, The Power of Your Ex, is an original Jackpod podcast brought to you by Jacaranda FM News. Jacaranda FM cannot be held responsible for the views and comments expressed in this podcast. Follow Jacaranda FM News on Facebook and X, or go to jacarandafm.com and click on News. Listen to more episodes and the original series at jacarandafm.com. Click on Jackpot or on the apps where you can get all your other podcasts.